Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you are such a loving, patient, thoughtful, kind, merciful, gracious God, in spite of the fact we are all sinners. In a word, Lord, we're messed up. And you seem to star with people who are messed up. And that makes us all the more grateful to you. I want you to come now in a mighty way for this portion of the worship service, just like you were here prior and during Sabbath school. Please guide my mouth and my mind to very succinctly present these last concluding thoughts on the I Ams of John, so that when we leave here, we will not be the same. So, Father, use me in spite of me. Bless each one. Don't let anyone be distracted by Satan. Keep our focus now on you, because what you have to say today is crucial for all of us. So bless to this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by the river in the late afternoon. One ran after another up a mound of sand. But unknown to them, and unfortunately, the mound was not stable, and their weight caused them to sink quickly in the sand, and for the sand above them to begin to cascade over them. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother unconscious with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. And when they cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened. And the searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" With great painstaking effort, the young boy said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the old brother lifted his younger brother to safety. And the tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. So what does that have to do with part 10 in our series, The I Ams of John, this one entitled, I Am He? We'll find that out as I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John, the 8th chapter. And we're going to read two verses, 24 and 28. John, the 8th chapter. Perhaps they're familiar texts to you, but maybe you've never stopped to really look closely at them. Children, do you have your Bibles? I hope you do. Open them, please, to John, the 8th chapter. And we're going to read verse 24 and 25. As we look at part 10 of the series, the I Am He part of this series. Therefore, verse 24 of John 8, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that, what? I am He. You will die in your sins. Go down to verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So as we look at these very first two texts of our series, we discover both of them say what? I am He. But let's take a look at John 13, verse 19. So just go a little farther in your Bible. Same book. John 13. And let's read verse 19 and notice what it says here. You have it? Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. All right, so we find that there's a second I am He in the book of John. Oh, but we've got to look at verse 18 of the book of John, chapters 4 through 8. So keep going into John chapter 18 and start with verse 4. And notice what it says here. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon Him, went forward and said to them, Whom are you seeking? And they answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am He. And Judas, who betrayed Him, also stood with them. Now, when He said to them, I am He, they drew back, and fell to the ground. And then He asked them again, Whom are you seeking? And Jesus answered, I told you that I am He. So here we find three times in the book of John where it is stated that I am He. Where are you? Come on. I am He. Okay, now, I want you to pretend like you haven't read those texts, okay? And instead, I want you to go now to the book of Isaiah, and let's take a look at Isaiah 41, verse 4. Now, just stick with me, everyone. Please take your Bibles. I hope you brought your Bibles. I hope you're turning to them. I hope the children are turning to them. This is the only book that can change our lives for the better. And when you follow as I read or anyone reads, you get a double blessing than if you just listen. Okay? So let's go through these quickly. I'm going to keep going. You see the text. They're all listed for you. So get your fingers nimble. Here we go. Verse 4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. Verse 43, or chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, check that out, nor shall there be after me. Take a look at 43 verse 13. Indeed, before the day was, I am He. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? The answer is nobody. Verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Verse 4, chapter 46, verse 4. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry you and deliver you. And we hope that's also talking about bald head people. 48 verse 12. Isn't this amazing, folks? 48 verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first, and I am also the last. Okay, now you did not read those other verses in the book of John. Who is this referring to? No, you didn't read those other verses in the book of John. Who is this referring to? Okay, God the Father, right? Now, man, this happens to be the painting on the Sistine Chapel. There's two depictions. They're both identical of God on the Sistine Chapel. And neither one is accurate because God cannot be portrayed in human form. Do you know that? No one has seen the Father at any time, Jesus said. So please keep in mind that for the sake of this presentation, I am putting that picture up knowing that it's bogus. There is no representation of Jesus. The Bible calls Him the Ancient of Days. It describes what Jesus looks like in the book of Daniel. It describes what Jesus looks like in the book of Revelation. But nowhere does it describe what God looks like. You got that, everyone? Okay, what's the prerogatives of God? Give them to me. Number one, God is omnipotent. Number two, God is omnipotent. Number three, omnipresent. By the way, do you need those defined? I looked them up. I wanted to make sure that I'm not making things up. Omniscience, have infinite knowledge, knowing all things. Omnipotent, or is that omnipotent? Okay. Having unlimited power or authority. Unlimited. And omnipresent, present in all places at the same time. Now, there's no other prerogative that we can think of that God possesses that isn't included in these three. By the way, just so I can have a feel for things, is there anybody in this congregation with those three things? Well, there certainly isn't up at the pulpit. Only God has those three prerogatives. By the way, I looked up prerogatives. Do you know what prerogatives mean, or are you like me? It's one of those words you kind of have an idea and you use them, maybe even to impress people, but you really don't know what it means. I do that all the time. Exclusive right or privilege. Exclusive right. Exclusive privilege. Only one God. He has the right to those three things. No one else has them. Okay? Now, I want you to go back to John the 8th chapter, verse 24 and 28. And we're almost done. I'm going to show you something that I hope makes you see that you're standing on the shoulders of a solid foundation that will keep your head for sure, if not the rest of your body, out of the sand, which will smother you to death, which is the world. So let's look at John. And then I'm going to ask you, after we read these two verses again, I'm going to ask one simple question. Here we go. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now, Jesus is in the temple, and He's talking to the religious leaders who struck up an argument because just a little while before He said, I am the light of the world. Now, stop and think. What is Jesus telling us here in those two verses? Well, I'll give you the answer, and when I do, maybe it'll help you with the next question. Jesus is clearly saying to them, what? I am the Messiah. Am I wrong? Right? He said, if you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your sins. He said, when I'm lifted up, then you'll know that I am He. Indeed, this two verses in chapter 8, in discussion with the religious leaders, clearly tells us that Jesus was trying to show them that I'm the Messiah. Ah, but let us look at the next verse, 13, verse 19, the second one we had. More closely, be careful. Let's read this. And here's what it says. Now I tell you, before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. What is Jesus telling us here? I got a better one for you. You ready? Watch this. You ready? What was He telling us? I am omnipotent. Omniscient. Omniscient. Now we got three pronunciation. Folks, He just said, I'm telling you now, so when it happens, you can see that I know what I'm talking about. He said, I am He. If you go back to the book of Isaiah, where you said that was talking about God the Father, He said that I know the end from the beginning. I am He. Jesus is clearly declaring to you and I in the second mention of the I am He in the book of John that I know everything. And that is a prerogative of who? Jesus is God, folks. You're standing on His shoulders. Your head will be above the waters of this world. If you're not standing on His shoulders, you're sunk. Boy, I gave you too big of a clue here, so let's look at the last one. John 4, 18, verse 4 through 8. And you already know the question I'm going to ask you. I've asked it twice. Let's read it. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that had come upon Him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? You know this is the angry mob in the Garden of Gethsemane. They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And He said to them, I am He. Judas, who was to betray Him, was also with them. Get this. Now, when He said to them, I am He, they fell on their faces. And what was Jesus telling us here when He said that to them and their response to Him? Yeah, I heard somebody say it. I'm omnipotent. And you sit there and go, wait, that's a stretch, Pastor. Okay, let's go back to the temple where He walked in and said, take these things hence. And the whole place emptied in 2 seconds. And they went running as fast as they could. And then they came to their senses and thought, why are we running? And they come back to the temple and look at Jesus and say, by what authority do you do this? You know, we really are dumb sometime, aren't we? And then, of course, He did it again. Only this time He used a whip. But it was only the sign of His real authority. And again, they scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Well, okay, so let's do this. Jesus just recently said, Lazarus, come forth. What is Jesus telling us? I'm all powerful. Why is that there? I don't like that there. I think I'm going to do this. I'm skipping that slide. want you to take care of that. The prerogatives of Jesus. All right? All-knowing? Right? All-powerful? Right? But He's not omnipresent. Let's go back to those texts, folks, and take a look at what it says. John 1:14. You already know, you should have that in your mind. Let's move through these quickly, these three verses, and see if you can't pick up on this. This is incredible to me, and you'll see why standing on His shoulders is the only thing that will save us. The Word became what? Say it. And it did what? And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's look at John 3:16. You don't even have to turn to that, do you? For God so loved the world, He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Acts 1:9-11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up? For this very Jesus that you see going to heaven is so going to come in like manner. So now let's look at the prerogatives of Jesus. He's all-knowing, right? He's all-powerful. Whoops, come back here. But because He loved you so much and loved me so much that He gave up one of the three prerogatives in order to win our salvation. For God gave Him to us, and when God gives, He doesn't take back. Jesus will never have the ability to be everywhere at once because He chose to be identified with the people that He loved so dearly, He gave His life. And that is why Isaiah clearly says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And it goes on to say, your walls, troubles, trials are ever before me, and I will always be there for you, even throughout eternity. You see, I had to do this last I am. Because the last I am shows in an incredible fashion that Jesus is conveying to you and I not only that He's God, not only that He's all powerful, not only that He's all knowing, but that He gave up one of His privileges because you were more important than exclusive right or exclusive privilege. What are you facing? What are you dealing with? What burden are you carrying, trial you face, fear you have? What sadness is in your heart? I want you to know, you're standing on the shoulders of Jesus if you make Him your personal Lord and Savior. And you may be right up to the neck, but it isn't going to go any farther than that. So we can love a God and commit to a God who gave up so much for us. And you know what? I want that kind of love. And I hope you do too. My friend, if you have not chosen Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do not wait. Do not hesitate. Ponder these texts. Ponder these thoughts. Look at them very carefully. Because if the love of Jesus in His giving up what He gave up for us doesn't win your heart, do you want to know something? Nothing will. Not even the desire for heaven in the end will win out if it isn't because Jesus is there. And so I encourage you to make that decision today. I want you to meet Stephanie Decker, not Stephanie Bedker, but Stephanie Decker. On March 5th, 2012, while going home with her two children, Dominic 8 and Leach 5, her little daughter 5, she received a text from her husband that she better go home because a monstrous tornado was showing up on the Doppler radar and headed directly for Henryville, Indiana, where they lived. And Stephanie ran into the house and saw the clouds beginning to move and form. And in the distance, she didn't even notice the gigantic funnel cloud, which was bearing down right directly towards her house. She immediately went downstairs with her two children, and then she began to hear a roar that she describes just sounded like a freight train. And she quickly grabbed a comforter, wrapped her two children in that comforter and tied it tight, tucked them under her body and fell on them just when the entire house was leveled and all the debris of a three-story brick and stone home fell apart and fell down. When the gigantic roar ended, Stephanie suddenly realized her legs were pinned, and when she looked down, as best she could see, one of the legs appeared to either be totally severed or partially, almost completely severed, and the other was crushed under bricks. Her little 8-year-old boy got up when she heard her mommy start to scream and ran for help, and they saved her life. That little boy ran for help, and a sheriff and a neighbor came. They immediately put a tourniquet on the leg. They got her into an ambulance, and she survived, but she lost both of her legs. Do you know that neither of her children had a scratch? And if I showed you the picture of the house, it was totally gone except for the debris that had fallen on top of her back and her legs in the basement. And I thought, she gave something very precious because the lives of her children were more important. Like Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to stand on the shoulders of Jesus and quit having one foot on his shoulder and one foot on the earth, thinking that that's good enough or all right. Lord, have mercy on us and convict us through the Holy Spirit that we will see Jesus clearly trying desperately to save us from destruction if we would only cooperate. Lord, let no one leave this sanctuary without making some decision. And then, Father, seal that decision with the gift of the Holy Spirit and heavenly angels so that we can quit failing you so often. So blessed to this end, and thank you. You never fail nor forsake because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.